Welcome to Weekly with WIC, episode number 4. This week, we're talking about the flu versus COVID. It is difficult to tell the difference between COVID-19 and the flu by symptoms alone. Dr. WIC shares some of the symptoms and what someone should do to decrease their chances of getting these viruses together. Love Local is a weekly podcast to help our community stay informed and either off the watch list or to get off the watch list in order for our kids to be in school and our businesses to remain open.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Miller-Byrne, and I'm a PA and a resident here in Tehama County, and I have the honor and privilege of spending some time with Dr. Wickenheiser, our local Tehama County public health officer. He not only is our public health officer, but he's an internal medicine physician retired from decades at Lassen Medical Group. So he's a valuable resource of knowledge, and I can honestly say, having known him for a decade and a half and working alongside with him, he is a genuinely, deeply caring person. He's reasonable, he's rational, he's highly intelligent, and he's really committed to getting our county back on track and staying open and operating during this COVID-19 pandemic. So I'm really excited to spend some time with him. So welcome, Dr. WIC.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to get right into it, and we're going to talk today about vaccines, because we're talking and hearing a lot from people in our community about COVID-19 and now the upcoming influenza season. And I know it's very difficult to discern the differences and the symptoms between influenza and COVID-19. So can you sort of tease those out a little bit for us?
When we look at COVID-19 and we look at influenza, what happens is we get a group of illnesses called influenza-like illnesses. That also includes something called respiratory syncytial virus. Most of those viral illnesses have several things in common. Often a cough, fever, chills, can get short of breath, can get fatigued, can have an associated headache, muscle aches and pains, and then you can get nausea and a sore throat. Most of these viruses that we come in contact with have no permanent or long-lasting effects. That's different than what we see with people, for instance, that get COVID-19, because some of those individuals may go on and have something more permanent. So it's very hard from a clinical standpoint to make a diagnosis of COVID-19 versus any of these other diseases. In the past, those diagnoses have been made based on the local epidemiology, meaning what are we seeing in the community at the time. If we were seeing lots of influenza and somebody came in with these symptoms, we would make a diagnosis of influenza. If we were mostly seeing respiratory syncytial virus, which is commonly seen in kids, and that usually precedes people having influenza. So usually maybe 3 to 4 weeks before we start seeing influenza, we see kids get sick with that. So then we would know that that's respiratory syncytial virus. Once we have testing, it's much easier to make that diagnosis. But now we're going to be having all of those happening at the same time. So how do you make the distinction what they have? There is no clinician who is smart enough that can look at the individual, talk to the individual, and make a definitive diagnosis. And since treatment is so different for all three of the illnesses, it's really important that we understand which illness it is so we can pick the appropriate treatment. God forbid we treat somebody with something that's going to cause them harm when they don't have that illness. On the other hand, if they have an illness and there is an effective treatment, then we should be using it.
Okay. So is it your recommendation if patients, for example, are experiencing these type of symptoms that you're mentioning to go get tested for COVID-19 or influenza?
That would be our recommendation. We will be seeing that many of the facilities will be doing a multi-level testing. That testing will include RSV, influenza, and COVID-19.
Okay, great. So what other suggestions do you have or recommendations for all of us to protect ourselves and our family members from not only getting COVID-19, like we've talked about in other weeks, but specifically influenza?
The most effective method to prevent getting influenza is the influenza vaccine. Now, the efficacy of the influenza vaccine is not as high as we see in our other vaccines, we're talking efficacy of 29 to 45%. Well, what does that mean? I can tell you that even at an efficacy of 45%, I will give you an example of what happened in the 2018 and 19 year. Just giving the vaccine, when we looked at the results, it saved 4.4 million illnesses, 58,000 hospitalizations, and 3,500 deaths. And at that point in time, the vaccine was only 29% effective for all three of this, or for one of the strains. And when we looked at all three of the strains, the coverage actually went up a little bit higher because it had some benefit for each of the strains that was there. But in addition to getting the vaccine, it's the same things we're talking about with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You should avoid close contacts with those who are sick, and you should stay home if you're sick. We understand that the work ethic of the American worker is you want to go to work. But you must realize that by going to work, if you're sick, you're just going to make your colleagues sick. You're not helping the situation at all. You should be wearing a mask when you're in public. Same reason we talked about last time why you should wear a mask. You're going to prevent that droplet transmission that's occurring. Basically, washing your hands. We talked about that before. That's very helpful. Avoid touching your nose, your mouth, and your eyes. And the reason being is those are all mucous membranes that you're touching. And the virus, once it gets on those mucous membranes, can easily infect you. You should disinfect surfaces. We talked about cleaning things off. And then you should, again, make sure you adhere to your social distancing of 6 feet. Now, does that solve everything? No, but each one of those adds a layer of protection.
You're listening to Love Local, a podcast series dedicated to fostering community engagement. During this season, we're focusing on COVID-19 and more specifically, information that will allow our kids to stay in school, reduce the positivity rate, keep our businesses open, and people working safely. This podcast is produced by Kate & Company in partnership with Expect More Tehama. To gain other valuable resources, visit expectmoretehama.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Love Local.
You've talked a lot about the vaccine. When do you specifically or the CDC recommend that somebody get vaccinated?
The CDC's big kickoff campaign for influenza vaccines starts in August. That's when we start making the public aware of it. That's when all the vaccine supplies start coming into the institutions that are going to be administering the vaccine. We routinely recommend that people get the influenza vaccine in September, no later than the end of October. The reason being is it takes 2 weeks after you get the vaccine before you develop the immunity from it. And since influenza season usually starts the beginning of November, we like to have people covered. Those recommendations made, if for some reason somebody's seeing their healthcare provider earlier than we're recommending, but that's a convenient time for get their influenza vaccine, they should still get it. It may not last all the way through the end of April, but we'll deal with that when it comes up. It's more important that you get it when it's available to you. Because if people wait, then often they don't get it. There's a missed opportunity to get a vaccination.
Okay. Another question we've gotten from our community is, if I've had COVID-19, should I get an influenza vaccine and when, if so?
It is recommended that if you've had COVID-19, that you should get an influenza vaccine. We know of no issues of people developing problems who have been COVID-19 positive and have been vaccinated. We will say that it's important that a person wait approximately 14 days after they've tested positive for COVID-19 or 14 days after onset of symptoms of COVID-19 before they get an influenza vaccine. And the reason for that is twofold. One is if a person has a reaction to their influenza vaccine and they develop muscle aches and pains, fever, things like that, then that may be construed as recurrence of their COVID-19, when in truth, that's just your body's immune system responding to the vaccine. But we don't want people to get confused. We don't want it to appear as if they have another illness.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. So in addition to some of the things you've mentioned in terms of benefits of the flu vaccine, reducing hospitalizations, deaths, etc., what other benefits to the vaccine are there?
The influenza vaccine definitely makes a difference in stopping the spread of the virus in the community. And this is a term that people talk about in terms of herd immunity. Normally, for a disease process to stop, you have to have approximately 80% of the people in the community be immune, 80 to 85%. There are some diseases where you can get by with less. We know that if we can achieve approximately 50% herd immunity with influenza vaccination, that we will significantly decrease the presence of influenza within the community. In addition, if we look at COVID-19, some of the early information suggests that if we can achieve herd immunity of about 40 to 45%, we can significantly impact what's happening in the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, so I know you don't have a crystal ball per se, but what are you predicting for the flu season this year?
That's a good question, Lindsay. When we take a look at what's actually happening, we usually mirror what happens in the Southern Hemisphere. And to just put it in perspective, that means we look at what's happening in Australia. Australia's winter precedes our winter. And we know that based on what we're seeing in Australia, that the current influenza vaccine that's been formulated contains all three of the vaccine type, or all three of the influenza types that are being seen in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's a topic that we can talk about more at a later date. There certainly will be more information that comes out of the Southern Hemisphere as we get closer to vaccination time. And I think that's important for people to know exactly where we're heading. And it's almost been true without an issue that what happens in the Southern Hemisphere happens to us.
This vaccine topic is a big one, and I'm looking forward to being able to have some more conversations about not only the influenza vaccine, but the upcoming COVID-19 vaccine. So we'll be able to look forward to those conversations. Thank you again for your time. We always appreciate you, and we'll see you and talk next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Love Local, believing that an engaged community is a vibrant community. This episode was brought to you in part by Expect More Tehama, Tehama County Public Health, and our friends at the Community Foundation of the North State. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and visit our website at expectmoretehama.com. Do you have a specific question related to this podcast? Send us an email to kate@expectmoretehama.com.